Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel, which was read just a few minutes ago, is a portion of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about prayer and fasting and almsgiving. He doesn't command his followers to pray, to fast, to give alms. He assumes that his followers will pray and fast and give alms. The three traditional disciplines of the holy season of Lent, which we begin this night. After a long and difficult winter, the kind of winter we've been having this year, just about everybody welcomes the coming of spring. The long winter nights give way to days of increasing light. Winter's cold and ice and snow are banished by the warm spring days. The crocuses and the daffodils begin to lift their heads above the soil, and wherever we look, we see signs of new and radiant life. Yes, after a long and difficult winter, we welcome the coming of spring. Well, spring in that sense is still some weeks away. But today, Ash Wednesday, we begin that season of the church year, which has often and rightly been called the springtime of the soul. The springtime of the soul. In fact, the word Lent is derived from an old English word, Lenten, which simply means spring. Lenten probably because of the lengthening days. And just as everyone welcomes the coming of spring, just so we Christians welcome this springtime of the soul. For during this holy season, the seed of new and eternal life, which was planted in each one of us at baptism, is nourished and grows. As we shall sing at Easter, all the winter of our sins, long and dark, is flying from his light, to whom we give laud and praise undying. The winter of our sins is banished by the light and the love of God's crucified and risen Son. And the traditional Lenten disciplines of prayer and fasting and almsgiving are aids in reaching out for that love and light. In prayer, we consciously reach out for love and light for others and for ourselves. Through almsgiving, which includes every act of kindness and generosity toward others, we try to reflect in some small way God's kindness and generosity to us poor sinners. In fasting, we experience hunger and thereby learn that we are needy, radically dependent beings whose life is not our own. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, as the psalmist says. And by foregoing for a season perfectly good and legitimate pleasures, we get rid of some of life's distractions, so that we can more clearly see ourselves as we are, and God as he is. The Lenten disciplines of prayer and fasting and almsgiving can be compared in a way to weeding your garden, not an end in itself, but a means to an end. You weed your garden so that the flowers you've planted won't be choked by weeds, nor their beauty hidden. Weeding is not an end in itself, and the traditional Lenten disciplines are not an end in themselves. and they are most certainly not a means of somehow gaining God's favor. For God doesn't need our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but you and I do. Because through them we weed the garden of our souls so that we can then bloom with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that, as St. Paul says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So how is it with you and with me as we again begin our Lenten journey to Calvary's cross and on to the Lord's resurrection? Is it still winter in our souls, our hearts cold and hardened with apathy and indifference, resentment and bitterness, perhaps even a dose of despair? Is our practice of religion cold and formal, or is it the expression of a grateful heart, warmed by love beyond understanding? The love of God who came down into our terror and torment and death to raise up us up to life and freedom and joy. If it is still winter in our hearts, then the Lenten spring is here to bring us back to life, to warm our hearts with the fire of Christ's love, and to revive our flagging spirits through the gentle dew of Christ's mercy toward us sinners, sinners who by our misuse of God's gifts have made of God's good world a veritable wasteland of sorrow and want, and who by sinning against one another, in fact, sin against the one who has called each one of us out of nothingness into being, God who is love. It was a 4th century bishop of Nineveh, St. Isaac the Syrian, who wrote, "Those who understand that they have sinned against love undergo greater sufferings than those produced by the most fearful tortures. The sorrow which takes hold of the heart which has sinned against love is more piercing than any other pain." Well, those aren't just words of a Christian bishop who lived more than 1,500 years ago. I can truthfully say that they ring true to my own experience in life. What a terrible thing it is to realize that I have sinned against someone who loves me very much. And that is true of every last one of us, because each one of us has sinned against the love, the eternal love who called us into being and then saved us from sin and death by his bitter passion and death. Yes, the sorrow which takes hold of the heart which has sinned against love is more piercing than any other pain. Healing for that pain can only be found through the tree which St. John, exiled on Patmos, saw in mystic vision. That tree which is the cross of Jesus, the tree of life whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. There alone do we find healing for the wounds of sin, balm for the troubled conscience, and peace through the precious blood of Jesus, which both cleanses and refreshes every sad and broken heart. After a long and difficult winter, people welcome the coming of spring. Let us then welcome the coming of Lent, the springtime of the soul. In the words of the ancient liturgy, the Lenten spring shines forth the flower of repentance. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light, that passing through Lent as through a great sea, we may reach the 3rd day resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of our souls. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.